Welcome to Uxbridge Beat, the podcast where we feature the who's who of Uxbridge, Ontario. My name is Jennifer Nevue-Campsell.
And I am Scott Campsell, and today we are going to introduce you to our friend Bob Rufo. Bob is a fitness and weightlifting mentor of ours who we've been lucky enough to meet through the gym.
He has a wealth of experience in the industry and all sorts of cool stories stemming from having spent decades in gyms.
Bob has been working with me and advising me on weight training concepts, ideas, and techniques, and I think he's probably forgotten more about strength training than I will ever know. I am so glad that he agreed to sit down and share his stories with us.
At 83 years old, and in spite of all sorts of physical ailments that are trying to drag him down, the gym still puts the beat in his heart, and he's certainly putting it in ours.
Thank you so much for doing this with us today.
My honor.
This is just absolutely wonderful. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I was born in Toronto. My father was born in Italy. My mother was born in Montreal. But my dad, interesting enough, tried to escape out of Italy because a teacher beat up his brother. And he let the teacher know he shouldn't have done that. So they were looking for him. So he boarded a ship and he came over here. So that's how he came over. So rough beginning.
So you're just running away from, because he beat up the teacher?
Yeah, I don't know how badly he beat up the teacher. But the word is that he beat him up pretty good.
Enough that they were looking for him.
They were looking for him. Well, they had a funny way of, my two brothers are 6'3", and the tallest I ever was 6 feet, and I'm 5'10 now. But they were, my two brothers, 6'3", size 13, 14 shoes. Like, where'd they come from? We found out that our great-grandfather was 6'6". And in Italy, that's giant, because especially the southern part of Italy, they're small by average. So I guess that's where they got the height from. Other than that, that's the beginning.
So we know you as Bob from the gym, and
that's right.
We're very interested in your fitness career. So tell us fitness. About the beginnings of your career in the fitness and bodybuilding industry.
Well, I shouldn't say it was a career. It was more like a hobby. I never made money from it. I bought into gyms to help other people out, but back in the old days, it was very difficult for gyms to make money. I mean, you're lucky to have somebody join and still be there a year from that time. But I was playing high-level football, semi-pro football, and I broke my wrist, and you couldn't play in those days with a cast. So I was hoping to make a career out of football. Anyway, time was going by, and I met Ann, the hell with football.
Yeah.
So, I've met Ann.
So we've been married 61 years now.
Congratulations.
And we were going out 3 years before that. So that sort of changed my whole career in sports. But we moved to Toronto when I was about 24. Moved back. I had a job as a sales manager. I immediately joined Big Tennis, which is a big chain. It was back in the 60s. I kind of liked it. And it just was my take. You know, it's just exactly what I liked to do. So I had a young guy take me around, and he was testing my strength. I didn't know anything about lifting much by then. So he says, you and this particular sport, you're going to be together for a long time. And that's the only time I ever saw him. And it's the last time I ever saw him. He was right. I joined, and after a couple of years, they had a mini course I took, and they had hired me to train people, which was a very simple type of training. But it wasn't my job. I said, you know what? It was like, give me $3 an hour. So I said, I don't want the money. You're complicating my tax returns. I said, you really are. He said, no, we got to pay you for insurance purposes. You got to be in our payroll. If you're not an employee, if somebody sues us, you may get sued directly and you can't get backed by us. So that made sense.
So $3 an hour.
It was $3 an hour. So I did it in the evenings and stuff like that. The years passed very quickly. I got involved with some heavy duty lifters. I didn't compete. I wanted to, but I wasn't good enough in bodybuilding. I had to put some more time or less time at the table, more time at the gym. I was cut, but not enough to compete, in my opinion. So I didn't go that route. I went into powerlifting, which was a lot of fun. Not too many competitions, mostly local in gyms and stuff like that. My levels were around 600 for a squat and deadlift, which was, I thought, very good, but not that good when you compare it to the rest of the guys there. My bench was 375, which wasn't good because I had a bad shoulder from the get-go. And I passed that 375 once when I was training one of the Maple Leafs. He said something that really ticked me off. I did 420 three times. Uh-huh. So don't tell me that adrenaline doesn't work, because it really does. And
that's the only time. Remember what it was that he said to you?
I'm not going to repeat it. <It's every day. laughs> I was accused of being somewhat of the opposite sex, I think, it was at the time.
Oh.
But he said it jokingly, obviously, but because we're friends, you know.
But enough to get
you. Yeah, but at that time, I wasn't in the best of moods. And,
So 375 still sounds like a lot, though. Like, what was the average?
Powerlifting, it's not a lot. I was 230 pounds. My number should have been probably around 420.
Okay.
In that range. And 600 was good for squatting. Da, da, da. Now, I was steroid free. I was offered steroids. I can't tell you how many times from people I worked out with. And I said, no. And finally, there was one guy that was working for one of the gyms. He said, look, I'll give it to you. Just try it. Look what you could do. You're doing 600, you could do 7. I said, wait a minute.
But back then it was different, wasn't it? Like back then it was sort of different. It was like you could do steroids. Like it wasn't like.
No, they didn't check you up. You were still test. So I said, look, I'm small bone. I'm doing 600. My bones will break if I go to 7, even if I can lift it. And that's true. Your bones will break. So I never did try it. Now, I worked out with Mick Downs. We're good friends. I see him. He's 93. And he was 220, the world's best bodybuilder. And he had marital problems. But he never took steroids. But he started having some problems with his body, you know, like working out, overworking out, whatever. But he's really a great guy, and he's at a point in his life, he's 93. He's a minister. Actually, he was ordained, if you want to call it that, about 60 years of age. He decided to go that route. So he moved to the Maritimes, all that. He always worked out anyway. Still works out every day. He goes to the Y. Probably lifts 2 pounds, because I saw him. He's like, he was 230 at best, and he's probably 165 pounds now. And he walks like he just got off a horse that he was on for 30 days. I mean, he's not in good shape.
But 93.
Yeah.
But he says he's walking at all.
Well, he knows what I'm like. He knows that I don't figure to have to talk with him. And he says, I pray every night that I don't wake up in the morning. That's what he's going through, too. Tell you, all of the guys that have done heavyweights over the years, your bones can't take it. Go on HBO, on TV, they'll tell you stories about guys that 7 or 8 back surgeries, and he can't walk anymore. What for?
Has that changed, do you think? Just with knowledge and...
I think if somebody persists without the knowledge... Well, knowledge is a good word, because if you're trained by somebody who's been through it and doesn't want you to go through the same thing, you'll probably be okay, because it would be a very gradual number you'd get to that you want to get to. But if you're trained by somebody who's an animal, let's get to it, do the best I can. No, you'll hurt yourself. They did a story on CBC a few years ago. High school kids were all taking steroids. You couldn't tell by looking at them, you know. And they asked one kid, if you know for sure that you're going to die in a couple of years if you continue to take that, what would you do? He says, I'm going to take it. It's a good mentality. And I know of a couple of guys at the gym that committed suicide and were taking that. I didn't know it was from that. Sad story. But it's out there a lot.
But there's that immortality type feeling when you're that young. You think you're going to live forever?
Well, you think it can't be you. Is it 1 out of 10 that dies? Is it 1 out of... They didn't even ask that question. They said, if you know you're going to die, they're saying specifically you. So I'm really against steroids, but I can't tell you how much, because I know professional athletes from the 1914, not even amateur athletes, Olympics, they were on steroids back then, way back then. I've been taking them ever since. And our Canadian guy gets accused and gets knocked off because he was taking steroids. Well, the guy that was accusing him was one of his biggest users. And I don't know how some countries get away with it. Well, I think I know how, but I'm not going to say how. How some countries get away with it and some don't. Somebody else's urine they're doing when they're testing. I have no idea how they're doing it, but it is what it is.
Earlier, you made reference to training with trauma beliefs.
Yes.
Can you talk to us about that part of your career?
Well, it was a funny thing. First of all, the manager of Maple Leafs was he didn't like anybody working out with weights. He would send out a note, punch in back. He'd send out a note and say, okay, guys, training camp's coming up. I want you to be able to do 20 push-ups and run a mile. That was it. I didn't know this. I was shown this letter after. Anyway, one day I'm at a gym, and Ron Ellis is there, and he's watching me work up. And at that time, I used the whole machine, everything he had on it, right? So he comes over to me and says, how often do you come in here? I said, 4 or 5 times a week. He said, would you mind if I came and worked up with you? I said, sure. Long story short, we had changed gyms and everything else, stayed together for years. Off season, he still had to play. But I did a lot of changes with him. But he had the body. He's like you, he had an athletic body. It doesn't take much to make it top condition.
Okay, I'm gonna make sure that that's really loud when I edit that. I've got an athletic body and it doesn't take much. Bob said, I got an athletic body.
So when you're sucking back your third beer on the weekend, it doesn't
we don't
take
talk
much.
To the trainer about that.
But let's be honest. He's an athlete.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, so Ron was, after his season was done, he was like thin. You know, they're skating a lot. So I got a hold of him and then we got into it. And after about the second or third year, I can't remember. I said, look, Ron, I know you run the golf course. It's about 4.5 miles in radius. Forget it. Get on the bike. We're going to go up and down the Caledon Hills. And I'm not going to go with you because I'm not going up and down the Caledon Hills. He said, I had
Do as I say. Don't do as I do.
Well, I had a business to run. Anyway, so he said, okay. Anyway, he calls me from London, Ontario this season. He says, I got to tell you. I'm 10 pounds lighter. And he said, I am so fast. That was incredible. I got to really thank you for it. I said, look, if you think about the muscles that are being used, biking versus skating, the same muscles, you know.
I met Kurt Harnett years ago. He was the Canadian indoor cyclist. But he was also a speed skater.
There you go.
So it's interesting that you say that.
Oh, absolutely.
And same thing, his quads, the size of his shoulders.
Yeah, and Ron could skate. And Ron, and after a season, Ron would come. I played hockey once a week for the sort of industrial group. So I said, I'm bringing Ron out. So Ron and I would play on the same line. I never scored so many goals in my life. Every time I looked, there was a puck on my stick. You know? Yeah, it was a lot of fun. But the sad end of that story about the 10 pounds and everything, they had a new coach, and I can't remember his name. He died, actually, fairly young. So he decided to make the whole team young, a younger version of the Maple Leafs before. And Ron was in his mid-30s. He was given an option of being traded if he wanted. He said, no, my career ends with him. I had other guys training, like Mike Pellick. Paul Henderson came one day, and he says to me, I want to work out with you guys. I said, okay, we'll start Friday. So I give him a workout, not too hard because they're athletes, but not too soft either.
Because they're athletes.
He comes back on Monday. He says, enough of this crap. Worse language than that. He says, I want to tell you something. I'm a scratch golfer. I shot 95 yesterday. Huh. So he says, I'm done with the weights. I said, okay, that's fine. But I said, I can give you a program for golfing, which is totally different. And he said, no, I'm done. He didn't carry on. But as you know now today, it's a big part of all sports.
So other than steroids, what are some of the biggest mistakes that young athletes or fitness enthusiasts make?
Good question. One of the biggest mistakes young athletes make today is they want to do their maximum every time they do a workout. That's why I'm crippled, is because toward the end, I wanted that 600 to be 605. Every single time I was out there, I was trying to do better than I did before. No. You got to do your sessions of high reps and low sets, all kinds of different avenues to get there. But you don't have to be a gorilla every time you get in the gym. And this is sometimes what I think the young kids try to do. They overdo it to get to where they want to be. They want to be Mr. Universe next year, or top hockey player, whoever, Gretzky. Oh, he's too old. Somebody younger.
Yeah, but I think even from when you and I started working together, you started doing that. You started getting me on lower weights.
Yeah.
Getting more range of motion.
And now you're going.
Yeah.
Now it's going. I can see it.
Yeah. And there's a different workout. It's almost like a burn as opposed to a failure.
Yeah. And burn is good.
Yeah.
There's no question. But I think that's the main problem with the young kids today. What they need is somebody to guide them. Coach like yourselves, to put them in the right range. I always found that, I love giving classes. We used to be about 10 or 12 guys going to the gym. So everybody had to know how to use each, and we'd go around following each other, see how fast we can get it done. But I just find that it's without that person giving you direction, you're going to go on and try to get stuff that you haven't done before, or the wrong number of reps or whatever. I mean, you need somebody, a trainer, to take that person around. And then you build up an acquaintance, you build up sort of like a friendship, I'd like to say. Because all the people, I still hear from people I've trained 30 years ago. When this COVID thing started, I got calls from young guys and calls say, hey, if you can't get the store, we'll pick up whatever you want. So you build up a great rapport with the younger generation. But they have to appreciate your knowledge, to appreciate it, but to understand it at the same time. In other words, you're putting trust in my background, my knowledge. I think it's very important to have a trainer. I really do.
So you've seen all sorts of trends and changes happen in not only the fitness industry itself, but actually in the gym. All sorts of different machines have come and gone over the years.
Yeah.
One of the things that pops into my head is Nautilus.
Yeah.
Remember Nautilus?
That's where I met Ron, Nautilus.
Even things like the vibration, the foot thing that you'd stand on, all sorts of things, the vibrating belt.
We went through all that thing.
All sorts of stuff. Yeah. So what would you say would be a constant? So here we are, 2022. If you rewind back to 1972, what has not changed and what shouldn't change?
What hasn't changed is barbells, dumbbells. That's never changed. But when, if you go before that, people used to go in a garage and lift car axles. But then the barbells and dumbbells came. And in essence, there's machines out there, fantastic. And I'm all for machines, particularly with people who have maybe minor injuries or an injury that could get worse by using free weights because you have to balance it more. I think there's a place for machines and barbells and dumbbells. It's exactly like we have out here. Mm-hmm. There's a place for all of that. Now, as far as the thing that hasn't changed, it's the barbells and dumbbells. And actually the exercises, if you take any body part, the chest, still basically the exercise they did 60 years ago. No, I was a little, I was around, yeah, about 60 years ago. I was sure there for a while. that hasn't changed. You got the flat chest press, you got the incline press, you got the dumbbell flies. You know, three or four different exercises. Now they got more elaborate equipment that's more and safer, to be honest with you. I think the difference with equipment today is that the secondary muscles don't come into play. When you pick up a dumbbell or a barbell, you need a balance. The balance is with kind of the whole body. So the secondary muscles come into play. Whereas you're using a machine, boom, 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 it's the direct muscles that you're working. So I think there is a difference.
So more isolated.
Yeah.
When you're in a machine.
Yeah. But I think that's, in all honesty, results are better from free weights.
Do your kids and your grandkids work out?
No. My son started to work out stronger than ox. He was a mechanic. He started off as a mechanic, licensed mechanic. And now he's CEO of a chemical company. You tell me. And so anyway, I had a gym in the basement, really good gym. And I brought him down there with a couple of friends. And he's very powerful. But something happened to his hand. So he brought it to the doctor because it was a little unusual. And they said, we have to take something from his hip to put it in here to seize up or put the bone together. I said,
into the wrist.
Yeah.
From his hip.
Yeah. Huh. Somewhere in the hand somewhere. I said, no, forget it. I said, if you want to work out lightly, we'll do it. So no, he never, he's strong. The grandkids, the two grandsons, one of them I was working with for about a year and a half, and he was getting pretty powerful. And he got a job that is kind of taking up all his time. So he gave it up entirely. What a shame, because he was really doomed, you know. And the second grandson is a tall, modelish looking young man. And he's about 6'1", 170 pounds. And when I got him, he was about 155. So we've been working in the basement. I can't get and show him anything. I have to tell him. So his bench is up to 2.25. And for a guy just, for a year.
170 pounds, that's not bad.
Yeah, But he's getting stronger. And all his friends are noticing that too.
Nice.
What about Ann?
Ann didn't start. That's another story. She didn't start. I don't think she liked me going to the gym because I spent a lot of time at the gym. I owned the company. I had to go to the gym. I got up at 5 in the morning to work out. Anne is, she turned out to be a little powerhouse. She started about in her 50s down in the basement. Oh, she went to gyms for jazzercise for a while. Then down in the basement, I said, get your friends over and give them a, and that's what she did. But at one time when she was about 58, she was deadlifting 285. Huh. It's pretty strong, you know. I said, remind me, I'm going to have to get you mad when I'm not looking.
You get mad when I'm looking. Nice.
But she got into it, and she enjoyed it because a lot of her friends joined her. Social, you know.
And so that's so not to be understated. You sort of off the cuff, she was in her 50s, that's when she started. But here we are now, we're just coming out of a pandemic, and we have all sorts of new faces coming back to the gym. People who are suffering with having put on some weight and having been immobile over the last 2 years. Absolutely. Yeah. And so it's intimidating to come into a gym, especially as a woman who may be less mobile or a little overweight or whatever insecurities you're bringing to the gym. So I don't think that's to be understated to have a woman who in her 50s goes and starts working out and then is deadlifting, twice what I weigh.
Yeah. Well, she doesn't do that anymore. She's 82 now, so she's not going to be doing...
Well, so she's only deadlifting 100.
No, I don't. No deadlifting.
What do you weigh, Bob? What is she deadlifting? She's been carrying you for years.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant you wanted to weigh something else. No. I think she's done really well, and I'm very careful with her. She has some illnesses that I have to keep an eye on. So when I'm working with her and give her a program in here, it's based on what she's capable of doing without, harming herself or really feeling the next day. In her 80s, you don't have to go overboard. You just have to stay in shape. And I've given her a diet to cut off a couple of things, and she lost 6 pounds. So in her case, it's a lot.
Scott and I have a very intertwined relationship, and Scott's my karate teacher. Mm. And that's not always easy having your spouse as your teacher.
No.
So how has Anne dealt with you being her teacher?
She's okay with that, but she was never one to brag about her husband. Well, the one day we were down in the basement. I had pulleys and everything down there, and I had a gang come over. I was trying to set a record on the pulley crossovers, 20 pounds each side. So,
now that's not okay. So, touch on that record. So, how many you did?
Well, I did. I had Ann down there and two other people counting because I wanted to be sure. You lose count after a while if you're doing it.
Of course.
So, I did 25,166 nonstop. And
25,166.
Maybe off 100 because when you're counting, who the hell knows?
Give or take 100. Yeah.
So it took 8.5 hours. So what we did is, I didn't expect to do that, but I found after, 1,000 or whatever it was, you start getting numb and you don't feel it anymore. It's just a matter. And you start getting a little delirious too. Mm-hmm. Toward the end. I had one of my friends was rubbing my neck while I was doing that sort of thing. So we stopped. And actually, I could have kept on going, but Ronnie was playing that day, and I had tickets to go to the gardens.
Huh, I could have kept on going.
I could have gone maybe 2-3, I don't know how long. Because honest to God, I was getting delirious. I really was. So I figured the next day, I won't be able to scratch my head. I was fine. Little ache, but I think we go past the point of...
So what was your motivation to do that?
I do things for myself, mainly. I wanted to see how far I could go with that.
So certainly, here's a mountain, I want to climb it.
Well, this is what I do with you guys. If I figure I can do 1,000, I'm saying to myself, I can do 1,010. Now, with you guys, I do the same thing with you. I put a number in your head, say your highest number for bench was 170. Well, you can do 170. So 150 for reps or 130 for reps is not going to be a problem. That's what I try to do with all the guys. And it works. It really does. But you don't want to do 170 every single time. Next time we're doing chess, we're going to test how far you've gotten, incidentally. So,
nice. 171.
Anyway, I'll take it. Anyways, I don't know how the answer would be for this. As far as that record goes, we tried to get on, in those days, the internet wasn't it today. I've mentioned it around. If anybody, it's not on record, it's not on Guinness, because the Guinness guy has to be there. But it's witnessed. I have the witnesses. I also want to have somebody take a crack at it. I know somebody could beat that. I'm positive. There's some big dudes out there today. So, what do you think, Scott?
No,
I don't have 8.5 hours, and if I have it, I'm going to need a catheter.
One of those hats that you put the drinks on top.
Yeah. You'll have to have a catheter. Depends. We'll have to do.
Depends. Just in case. we're thinking maybe urine, but it could be. Yeah. No.
So you're right. The internet isn't. Or wasn't like it is now.
No, I mean, I sort of gave up on it. And because I like to see whatever I've done, somebody break it. I really do.
Yeah.
Somebody go beyond that.
Hey, Amanda, your kids have grown so much.
Hi, Katie. Yeah, they're bigger now. Yours too. They seem to be doing well.
Honestly, the lockdowns and isolation have been really rough on us, but I got them into karate at Okami Kai, and it has made such a positive difference for them.
Really? Our family needs something so badly right now. They need to be moving and motivated.
Okami Kai Martial Arts and Fitness. Striving to bring out the best in the community since 1999.
Look them up. The teachers are great, and the program is welcoming for all ages.
Okami Kai Martial Arts and Fitness.
One of the things on the internet that is quite popular are all the gym fails. You know, the compilations of people doing some very interesting things in the gyms. So do you have any stories that come to mind of absolutely epic fails or things that went horribly wrong?
I've seen things go wrong. I saw on one occasion, actually, to me, it wasn't horribly wrong. I was doing a pull down behind my neck.
Which we don't do anymore.
No, I don't do anything behind the neck, nor do I.
No.
I'm not a proponent of it. The wire broke, and I had like 150 pounds, and it hit me right in the back of the, just below the neck. I still have the last, it wasn't an x-ray, it was a CAT scan, I guess it was, a few years ago. There's still something there. There's a crack that I did in doing that. So that's not serious. Now, I've seen a guy do, once in a while we go crazy and go Olympic lifting, you know, clean and jerk. Puts it over his head and dropped it, and his elbow went that way.
Ew.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I saw a guy lose a bench on his chest, but it landed here. Two guys.
Sternum.
Guys were there. And myself, I was doing pulleys with biceps, and I hear snap. It felt like I put my hand in a socket. So I said, oh. And I was training with an ambulance guy and a chiropractor. It's the most guy. I said, boy, I don't know. That doesn't feel so good. That's funny. And the ambulance guy says, I think you've torn your bicep. And the chiropractor says, no way. So I take off my shirt. The thing's hanging down here.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. So I go to the hospital. 6 hours later, an orthopedic guy comes in and says, when did you do this? I said, oh, whatever. Well, he says, I can operate and make it look like it was, but it's not going to be any different for you. It's damaged. I said, I'll leave it. And eventually it went slightly back up, but never the same.
So are you definitely weaker on that left arm?
Yeah, but not a lot, surprisingly. Okay. So, but yeah, but if I was doing direct bicep, yeah. Yeah, but a lot of little accidents. I've had my thumb going the other way.
Almost sounds like a bad joke. A weightlifter, a paramedic, and a chiropractor going to a gym.
Yeah. And only two come out.
And their fingers are pointing the wrong way, elbows the wrong way.
Yeah.
No, I think overall, getting back to what you're saying, and I like that fact that you've got a lot of middle-aged people in this town that should be working out. There's no question. I say have some reasonable amount of money to get them to the gym or some enticement to get them here and make it fun. When I said, when Caroline asked me about the classes on Tuesday, when they first started, I said, you know what? Get all the girls together, go have a coffee. They probably know each other. They didn't do that, but they got to know each other. They had a coffee after.
Yeah.
So she said, you know, that really does, it's kind of friendship type of thing. So the girls are not only coming here to get a workout, they're coming here to see their buddies and getting something out of it.
No something question. Like that Boomer Boosters program that's running in the gym now for that age group. So Jennifer's teaching women that are about the same age. They're able to push themselves a little bit more. So you've got a different demographic of people that are going to the gym. So it would be too difficult, I think, to say, okay, how would one get started? But let's say if I give you a couple of categories. So middle-aged person, a little overweight because 2 years of COVID lockdown, they want to go start working out. What would you recommend would be the best thing that they should look at to start?
Well, I think overall, just do everything overall in a very light way. First thing I would do with anybody that's coming into the gym for the first time or is get them on the bike or the treadmill or something, warm up for 10 minutes, get the body, you know, floating. Then I would introduce them to all the equipment you would use for every part of your body. Doesn't mean every piece you got in here, because there's two or three pieces for each part. Introduce them to that, have them do three or four little reps just to feel it, and just introduce it and say, at the end, stretching and some abdominal, and that's it. Don't make it a big deal. Don't be in here for 3 hours. Just have them do it for about half an hour, 35, 40 minutes. Introduce them and say, look, you're going to have some people that are going to do the exact same thing as you, so we're going to be a team. You know, make it interesting to them. It works. It always worked for me. Now, I got to tell you, having owned part of gyms and all that, and as a trainer, I have people come in, and I could tell you within two sessions whether they're going to come back or not. It's not for everybody. It really isn't. One time, it's better now, but I'd say at one time, for every 100 people that join, 10 would stay a year. That's only 10%. Now I think it's closer to 35, 40, because it's more interesting. It's almost like an association gathering. You've seen people, you know, everybody, especially after the COVID. Get them out of the house, into the gym. Try it.
We're going to play a little game called Rapid Fire.
Yes.
So we're going to ask you a question.
I'm very slow rapidly.
Okay. this is the oxymoron version of rapid fire.
Yeah, and our rapid fire is a little crazy. Like if you
want to go on a tangent,
it's more for us. They're like fast questions.
What's your favorite color?
Blue.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Which exercise should no one ever do again?
Deadlift.
Deadlift? Really?
Well, that's how I got hurt.
So because Bob got hurt, no one else should ever do it again.
You know what? That's a very good question, because it's per person that should never do again. There's certain exercises you should never do again. I should never do it. And he should never do it. You go outside, I bet you'll get 10 different answers, because it depends on the person. Mm-hmm. Something happened to him doing that exercise. But as far as me, that's enough.
What's your favorite cheat food?
Now, I got to think about this, because my appetite since I was ill has changed dramatically. Like, I don't like food anymore. So my old Italian favorite was pasta and meatballs. Now I would say, here's another thing I got to tell you. When I was training, like in heavy training, every morning after a workout and 2 mile run, we go to the restaurant and eat 18 eggs each for breakfast.
18
For 9 months, I ate 18 eggs.
Did you hatch a chicken?
I felt like a chicken was coming out. But for me, it worked. It was great. I had a high protein, full of energy. Well, of course, I ate other things, but that's what I...
Okay, actually, I was going to ask you about that. So what kind of diet is the best for get results?
Depends, again, on the person. I look at you. All I say to you is anything you eat right now, you want to gain weight. I know you want to gain weight. If you want to gain weight and it's going to be muscle, it's protein. That'd be high protein. The carbs are for energy, and you're not carrying any extra weight. So I would say a high protein, low carb diet, which could be anything you want, basically. So get the protein. Get lean protein if you can, fish. And I don't know how much fish you guys eat. But, I don't eat as much as I, well, now I don't care. But even in my day, I was never a fish eater.
And that's to gain weight, like to gain muscle?
Muscle.
Yeah. So let's say a person comes to you and says, I want to trim down. Would you give them the same diet?
Oh, no. I did this with John the other day. Give me a 3-day what you eat, everything, including water. I wonder how much hydration you get. And I see that he had 7 pieces of bread every day. It's high carb. So I looked at him and I looked at him and I said, you know what? Stay with the diet. Add 2 to 3 protein drinks, 20 grams of protein each drink. Add that to your diet. Let's see what happens. Because he wants to put on a little bit of muscle up here. So... You see how it works? I don't know. But it's an individual thing. There's no question. But if you're asking you, it's protein. You don't, I don't know what you want. I don't think you want anything, do you? You
know, to what?
You don't want any changes?
Yeah. Oh, we're going to move on with your questions.
Right away, when a woman says that, she wants to lose weight.
What's your proudest parenting moment?
I have a few. Well, I have to bring it to up late when my son became president and CEO. Of a pretty good sized company. My daughter, who has been over 30 years with 3M, was one of the top sales and marketing people. That's big in that company. And so those 2 moments. And my son has been married twice. And my daughter is still with the same fella after 30 years. And of course, proud moments of the grandkids graduating from university.
What's Anne's best quality?
She's got a few. She really does. She's compassionate. And she tries to please. She really is a great person, no question about it. Hey, 61 years, you got to have to live with me. That's got to be something special.
So what makes you a great husband?
Not very much. Mind my own business. Be loving. I think, you know what? I said this before to a lot. How do you make 50 years, 60 years? You got to be best friends. And that's what we are. We're best of friends. The romance and all that stuff is gone from the first beginning of marriage and so on. But we're still loving and everything else. But it's being the best of friends.
But that's still romantic. Like, it's romantic. The romance gone, but you're...
No, I don't mean the romance of... No, you're taking it wrong. I mean, the physical romance is not the same as it was back years ago, obviously. But the being best of friends, absolutely, without doubt. That's the secret. She won't leave my side now.
No. You know,
knowing that I've got maybe, 90 days, 3 months? I don't know what the hell it is. So we'll see.
What do you want your grandkids to know about their grandpa?
They know.
Yeah.
I want them to know that work hard, be nice to people, and chase their goals. And most importantly, and I told all of them when they graduated, find a job that you like. Half your awake life, or more than half, is at work or going to and from work. Just think about every single day having to go somewhere that you hate or don't like. You're having a miserable life. So even if you find a job with less money and you love doing it, take it. And you'll be good at it. You'll get top money for whatever that job gives you. My grandkids have always told them that.
If you could sit down and talk with anyone who is living, who would it be?
Who's living? That goes a long way. I can go with the business. I can go to sports. That's a difficult question. Sports, I probably want to talk to Gretzky, just to talk to him, more about his childhood life. I'm interested in how these people got to where they are. And, of course, you get presidents of Microsoft and all these large companies. Interesting. Of course, you can find out how they got there because there's books all over the place how they got there. But not everybody's had a straight up, beautiful way up to get to the top. A lot of them have had a lot of bumps in the road to get there. That's what I like hearing about. How did you make it? I had a fellow, good quick story. We had a gym at York University for kids hockey in the summer. And one of the guys was one of the teachers at the Russell Sports High School, you know, athletes. So he was doing work with him. Once in a while, I'd pop in because I had other things to do. Ron Ellis was around too. And so I popped in and I noticed he was a little rough with talking to the kids. I said, hey, come over here. I said, what's going on? He said, well, these are kids. You got a lighter tone. And he said, I committed suicide last night. So I said, now, wait a minute, let's start. He said, well, my dad was a cop, committed suicide. His grandfather committed suicide. So something in the family. So I started clicking, you know. Okay, wait here. So I make a call to a friend of mine who's a shrink. And he does everything by nutrition. I said, I think we've got a guy here with a sugar problem. I just didn't know. When can you see him? So I told him, it's urgent. Saw him in a couple days. He was so low on sugar, it's a wonder he was able to walk. And that changes your whole mental attitude. So changed his diet, better ever since. So every Christmas, he used to buy me a bottle of whiskey or whatever, you know. But forgetting that, fact is that he was willing to do that, ran in the family. So I'm helping my nephew run a business. He comes in one morning, and all of a sudden it changes. I said, go to the doctor, you're low on sugar. Exactly. So the number of people that walk around that all of a sudden become moody mid-morning, low on sugar, 90% of the time.
So we're talking about diets for improving your body. You're talking about a diet that actually affects your mind.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely, without doubt. But the diet, any diet that's given for bodybuilding or working out or powerlifting, there's enough food in there that you'll cover the low sugar part of the thing. Sure. There's a lot of food being taken in.
If you could talk with anyone who has now passed away, who would that be?
I would like to talk to my older brother. And the reason for that, I know you're thinking, maybe talk to Mr. Universe in 1910. No, no. Somebody close to me. When my dad died, my older brother was going, his last year in university. But he all took time to look after me because my mother was a basket case. She suffered from depression. So I really brought myself up. But he was there, you know, we used to build model planes together and stuff like that. And then he moved away and we were never able to get close together again. Well, we saw each other, you know, that also. But that's the one I'd like to talk to now, to thank him more than anything.
If there is a God, and if and when you pass away.
Yes.
What would you like God to say to you?
I would say you did a good job in life. You raised a nice family and nothing else, really. You did nothing wrong. Well, maybe I should go back a little bit. I lived life the way it's supposed to be lived. I did nothing. There's nothing good that he could say about me or nothing bad he could say about me. A normal life. I like helping people. Probably would say that. You know how many people I train and never charge a dollar? No. I don't get any enjoyment charging. I get more enjoyment not charging.
With the exception of you, your invoice is on the way, honey.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for spending this time with us this morning.
I already know what's going to go on. He's going to go and God's going to look at him and say, come on over here and let's see how much you can bench.
Yeah.
No, that's what he's going to say to God. Yeah.
So there's episode 7 with Bob Ruffo. What'd you think?
I think Bob is such an inspiration to us both and to our friends in the gym, and it was absolutely fascinating to hear about his life.
Yeah, Bob comes out and works out with me, and what I think is amazing is that he's taking all of the old school ideas, and we call them old school ideas, but in the end, they're the things that work. We've had so many different workout ideas that have come out, P90X, Jane Fonda had a workout, there was a 20-minute workout, I remember, with women, their leg warmers and all that stuff, and yet it comes down to the same thing. You want to lose weight? calorie deficit, eat less. You want to increase muscle mass, eat more protein, start working out. And he just relies on the same stuff, but it's the way he delivers it with me that is really motivating.
At 83 years old, he's such an inspiration, and he comes into the gym and he's got his cane. He's maybe moving a little slower than he did a few years ago, but he's still hustling around. And there was one day just not so long ago, he was working with you guys and had forgotten his cane in the gym and had to hustle back to get it. And I wonder why he's even got it in the first place, because he's hustling pretty quickly.
You want to know why he's got it? He's got it so he can hit me with it. I think he hasn't done it yet, but I think it's there. It's just a little extra motivator. It's almost like you watch the old Rocky movies and there's Mickey, you know, I gotta eat thunder and crap lightning, and I'm waiting for him to say something like that at any given moment.
That does sound like something Bob would say. Such a life well lived and such an inspiration. And on that note, another life well lived is our dear friend and our town's dear friend Ken Welsh just passed away, and I think we just need to take a moment to reflect on that and to honor what an incredible person he was for our country and so much for our town.
It's really sad. We were trying to get him as a guest for an episode and our timing just didn't work out, and just very, very sad. I posted something on our Facebook page and on our Instagram and on our Twitter and basically just talked about the fact that he had so many acting credits. We just couldn't list them all. And I was just going over my head while I was thinking about doing the post, and I was going, okay, he was on Twin Peaks. He was on Crocodile Dundee 2. We played a cop in that. He was Time Cop, like as a martial artist, you know, the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, so he was in that. And there were so many times I'd watch a movie or a television show, I go, oh, it's Ken Welsh. And Blacklist, he was on that. And
he died a good death in Blacklist.
Yeah, and but go on his Wikipedia page or IMDb, or like, he had way more credits than I thought. And Miracle, Kurt Russell, like, just incredible list of movies and television shows that he was in.
And that doesn't even touch his theater career.
No, that's right. Yeah. And a lot of his personal videos were Shakespeare. And so we found a video. Actually, I got to give thanks to Dave Barton because he posted it, of Ken Welsh doing Psalm 23. So we're going to close out. And then the next voice you hear after us is going to be Ken Welsh doing Psalm 23.
Rest in peace, Ken. And thank you, Bob.
And thank you for joining us.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.